This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got Corey Majors is back and holding it down at the studio. Is Dylan Moore. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing as we are live at Taco Bueno in Arlington, 1419 North Collins Street.
Kevin, I'm doing great. It is the new year, so you know what that means. New year, new me.
Great.
Yeah, everything's going to change this year. Hair color.
What color
clothing
is it
style, whether or not I'm a dad, you know, stuff like that's going to change.
What?
I don't know. I was just thinking of things that I do and I need to, you know, make changes, right? Isn't that how the new year goes?
You should keep being a dad.
All right. I like those kids. They're pretty good.
Just don't be a new dad.
I don't want to be a new dad anymore.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You understand that though. Like, I'm very close to being done being a dad.
Because
I push them all out of the house and say, go fly, little birds. And then they go off and fly. Mm-hmm. And then me and the wife, we can have, you know, I can have my naked room finally, like I've always wanted.
What movie is that from?
That's from Failure to Launch. Look, I don't love Terry Bradshaw that much. But whenever that scene was hilarious when he's sitting at the table and everybody's talking and he's like, man, this shirt feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds. Anybody hot? And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Life.
Now, this is where I'm conflicted. And if this is the energy y'all are bringing today, that's going to be a long day for me. From the 940, can I get a, maybe 945. Can I get a shout out to my fiance, Destiny? I haven't put in a shout out for her since last year. Now, if you mean it has been about 12 months, shout out approved. If you mean this happened last week, no to your shout out.
I think now, it's too late.
Could you argue? Yeah, could you argue? I already did the shout out. Well, here's the thing, Destiny. If he means last week, no shout out. Mm-hmm. If he means like several months, maybe even 12 months ago, then yes, shout out.
I don't know how you can like put that out in the world and be like, here's the fork in the road, one's coming back. It's already there. You've already done it.
Well, just know I didn't really approve of that shout out. I don't know if that actually...
I thought it was great. I approved of it the most.
Okay, I don't know if that actually makes any difference whatsoever, but this is supposed to be the Stars and the Mavs in college football super segment. So I'm very conflicted because college football, obviously, it's been awesome the last couple days. But for the Stars, they're in a little bit of a funk and they keep losing to the worst teams in all of hockey. Mm-hmm. And they've got Olympians selected so far, but not the one that I think they should select. And I did a preemptive, my buddy's an idiot, on Wednesday.
To America?
Yeah, to America. to U.S. hockey, more specifically, okay, for not putting Jason Robertson on the roster. And so far, Ottinger, Team USA.
Here's what's interesting, though.
Okay.
I'm sorry, before you go any further.
In your face, Thomas Harley.
Yeah, sorry, Thomas Harley. You said you did a preemptive. You didn't even know, but you assumed Jason Robertson wouldn't be on because you already planned for him not to be on. Therefore, he shouldn't have been on.
No, but then he played so well, he clearly should have been on. No American-born player has more goals in the NHL right now. But then they were like, I don't know, we don't want him. Mm. Well, you know what? It's pretty important to score goals. And he stepped up his physicality. Is it great? No. But it's getting better.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure they have a plan, and Team America will do just fine in the games.
Okay, that's not very encouraging. So Thomas Harley made it for Team Canada, and then, of course, the Stars dominate the Finnish team once again. Ooh, Miro Heiskanen, Stipe, Esa Lindell, and Mikko Rantanen all on the Finnish team thus far.
And that's for the Olympics.
That is correct.
Not the Four Nations, which that's always fun. But
that electrified us.
Yes, it did. The Olympics, Kevin, I wonder how many people, is that the apex for them?
Yes.
Stanley Cup is definitely
Oh.
Like, where does that balance go for those guys? Because playing for your country, playing for that Olympic team, for me, it always felt like that was very important to players in the NHL. In America, because we weren't the best, always was like, oh, we're good. We're fine.
See,
we love it.
And that's tough to figure out because I think it probably varies player by player. Because if you would have told me, for Luka or for Jokic, winning a gold medal for their country would be more important than winning the NBA title, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I could see that. And, Sidney Crosby obviously has amazing history in international competitions, but I wonder if he would feel like his career was empty without a Stanley Cup. So, I don't know. I would love to get a player poll.
Obviously, too, I'd love, and your thought on this, too, the competition, these guys on these teams play with their team every night.
Sure.
And these guys that are playing, they get together, they practice, they work on some things. Then they go and they're, in a place for a while playing a tournament without guys that they're used to playing with every night. Is the competition that much, more intense? Is it more fun? Is it better?
I think it will be because the time frame is so limited, right? For the NHL season, I'm not saying all players are holding back, but there's probably something where you've got to be like, hey, we're prepping and we're getting ready. Yeah, somebody just drove by. I hope they're coming in to the Taco Bueno and they waved to me. But you're still thinking about May and you're still thinking about the beginning of June and everything. For this, you're like, hey, we got 2 weeks, give or take. And so go, go, go. And I think you
pour it all in.
Okay, but for real. That intensity you saw in the Four Nations, that's going to get ratcheted up.
I think so.
Even further. And this is, except for maybe the first time they let NHL players into the Olympics, and everyone's like, oh, what's this going to look like? This is probably the most excited I've ever been for Olympic hockey.
I'll add this too, Kevin. It did feel like America in the Four Nations was the reason it ratcheted up.
Oh, sure.
I felt like they set that tone. And the Kachuk brothers were like, we're playing Mighty Ducks hockey, guys. Yeah. We're going after everybody. I really wanted to hit this from the 3-2-1. Kevin, this is starting off as the worst show of the year so far.
But isn't it the early. Best show of the year,
it's
too?
It's very early. Shout out to y'all. Happy Nude Year, they say. I don't know exactly what that is.
That's because you said you wanted a naked room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. OMG,
guys.
That
just happened 5 minutes ago.
Good to hear y'all again. Haven't listened since last year from the 972. I haven't heard Hagee on radio since last year. It's great to hear KNC again. It's been a year since they've been on air. It's been a minute, guys, and we're glad to be back. I'm back with you and frustrating Kevin early in the year. 2026, big things, baby.
I just want to remind everybody it's not too late. It is not too late to fulfill what should be your ultimate New Year's resolution. If you see somebody that you've already seen this week, or even last week, and they're like, hey, neighbor, hey, buddy, I haven't seen you since last year. Your New Year's resolution should be to cut that person out of your life for good. All right? That should be your New Year's resolution. You still have time. There's going to be new people that or people you're going to see again over the next week or so. Cut those people out of your life.
Or?
Unless you're contractually obligated to sit next to them almost every single freaking day, and then there's pretty much nothing you can do about
you
it.
You want me in that chair. You need me in that chair.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes not. From the 214, Tolo Go. Look, I have a couple of Tolo Go shirts available, and if you're looking for a specific size, we got the sizes we got. All right, that's how it is.
Okay, if Athena pops in and we have one left, does she want one? Is she
please
like,
God,
hey,
don't
this
say
is
that
what does
to
this mean?
Athena.
And then I have to explain it to her. And
I would really love it if at 12:30 this Taco Bueno was filled and well behaved. And not everyone chanting Tolo Go or something like that, because then she's going to want to know, what does that mean? And I don't want to tell her that. In the meantime, if you want to throw it out there for the Mavericks have now lost four straight. He had an opportunity with a couple of threes yesterday, but realistically, that game was decided down the stretch. And then we already mentioned it for the Stars. They have struggled. And man, we're going to need to dive into this probably next week. They continue to struggle in 5-on-5 play. Like, as awesome as this star season has been, and their penalty kill and their power play has been outstanding, and it's still been a great season, they leave much to be desired in 5-on-5 hockey, and we'll probably need to talk about that a little bit more next week.
Sounds good to me, then.
And then, in the meantime, you mentioned it. You're excited about what it looks like. We'll talk about this a little bit more in probably about an hour or so. The Final Four set for the college football playoff. It's going to be Indiana against Oregon in a week, and then Ole Miss against Miami on Thursday, as teams with byes in the college football playoff are now 1-7. In the last 2 years, with only Indiana beating the crap out of Alabama, saving it for the teams with byes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, live from Taco Bueno in Arlington off of Collins Street, what's at stake and what will happen in the final weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Of the NFL season, we'll do next right here in The Fan.
And it is back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. This upcoming segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Free play for Williams as the flag is down. So Caleb looking to launch. Does towards the end zone. Touchdown, Colston Loveland. So it was a free play. Williams taking advantage of it. We're an extra point from a tie game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What's at stake and what will happen in the final week of the NFL season? Don't forget 877-881-1053, Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll have Jerry Jones on the show in about 12 minutes, but I'm going to start with this. These are various records or playoff seedings up at stake. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett, he has 22 sacks this season. What's at stake? Half a sack away from the NFL record. Will he get it, Corey Majors?
He will tie it with 22 and a half, correct?
Is that correct?
Okay, yeah.
Which feels very anticlimactic if he got like half a sack.
He needs two sacks.
Okay.
I don't want a half sack over the record.
Okay.
I want the whole thing here. I want this to be one full sack at least, because I was predicting 27, and then he kind of bummed out on me a couple times. So, but
well,
I think
and
he's
then the Steelers
it.
Quit caring about winning a game that they probably should have to stop him.
Yeah. So I think he's going to get it though. I'm excited for this one.
All right.
This is keeping me alive right now.
Oh goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's other things too.
Do you mean in a sports sense?
One of the things.
All right. Next one. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams needs 270 yards to become the first quarterback in Bears franchise history to make it to 4,000 yards. It's never happened ever. He has 3,730 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. They go up against the Lions. Will he become the first Bears quarterback to get to 4,000 yards?
Do you know how many times he's thrown for 270-plus yards this year?
Four.
Three. Four, Kevin.
Oh!
You're right. I missed one there.
So there's about a 25% chance.
Four times, and his last game was 330. So
hell yeah.
And maybe he's on the right. Maybe he's found his way with this thing. The last three games have been 240-plus. I think that sets up well. I think if that's something Ben Johnson wants him to do, it will happen. Ben Johnson, you saw what he did whenever he was like, I'm scoring a touchdown with these tackles. And they didn't. Then they said, screw it, we're going back next year to do it. So I think it will happen. I think this is a good thing for Caleb, man.
All right. On Saturday, the Panthers against the Bucks. It was going to be winner takes the NFC South in the number four seed, but the Falcons have just really thrown a wrench into that. But let's start with Panthers Bucks. Who wins? Because now the Bucks need help from Atlanta as well, and the Panthers might not even need to win this game, and there's a pretty decent shot that the winner of this division finishes 8-9.
I think the team that's lost four in a row is going to lose again. And that's the Buccaneers. So
I think, haven't they won like one of their last eight?
Yeah.
It's been pretty bad.
It's rough for them. So, they started off at something we were questioning whether or not it was sustainable.
Yes.
And that was early in the season, all those like very close wins late in the game.
Correct.
The Panthers, I mean, this has been a very tough team. They're kind of gritty. I like that about them. I don't think they're one of those that stands out as one of these 13-win teams.
Sure.
But they're a gritty team. I think that they can beat the Buccaneers.
Also on Saturday, the Seahawks versus the 49ers. Winner can take the number one seed in the NFC East, where the loser can fall to the fifth or sixth seed. Who you got?
I think going into this season and most of this year, we just kind of looked at the Niners as like, they exist.
They've done a hell of a job.
There's other teams in that division that we like more. And the Niners are like, we'll finish where we finish and we'll get ourselves good in the playoffs. And they're on a six-game winning streak too, man. I'm going to roll the Niners out on this one to make things weird.
Well, what a shock. The most disrespected good team in the history of football takes another one on the chin. All right, we move to Sunday. Broncos, Patriots, Jags are all in a race for the number one seed, as probably nobody predicted. Who will take the number one seed? Do you go with the Broncos? Because the Chargers are like, the hell with it. We don't want to put Justin Herbert out there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos on this one.
Bonus Broncos question. They currently have a shot at the most sacks in NFL history. They currently have 64.
As a team?
As a team, yes. The all-time record is 72, which is held by the 1984 Bears, a year before the vaunted Super Bowl shuffle Bears that just ran over every single team out there, especially in the playoffs. So they need 8 sacks. Also, the Chargers' offensive line is the worst, and that's why they're not putting Justin Herbert out there. Do you think there's a shot the Broncos could tie or surpass that record?
Okay, here's a couple of things that are going to go into this. A, Kevin, if the Chargers' offensive line is the worst, then how do the Cowboys not get any sacks on them? All right? That's one of the
we can't
big factors
pressure
there. Don't worry about that
That
part.
That should be your first question to Jones.
The other part is Trey Lance is back there, and I don't think he's going to take too many sacks. I think he'll escape the pocket enough.
I mean, he's good. Somebody traded a 4th-round pick for him.
That's okay. But I think he'll escape the pocket. I think he'll get away. And and 8 sacks is a lot to ask
for sure.
But a sack party could be a lot of fun.
And then Sunday evening, final game of the NFL regular season, Ravens versus Steelers. The Steelers lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL to prevent them from clinching the division. Now it is a winner-take-all situation. Winner takes the AFC South and gets the number 4 seed. Loser goes home. Who is winning that division? The AFC North.
I'm going to go with the Steelers by default.
What?
Yeah, I think I'm just – I don't know, dude. I don't like picking this division. I've always
– Sure.
We hated this division coming into the year. And
well, they
every
hated
year.
Too.
And all of them are just like – and you know what they'll tell us? We play tough football in this division. And you're like, every one of your teams is really, really poor. They're like the NFC East except for – I mean, even Philadelphia. But, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead by default and roll out with the Steelers on this.
Man. In your face.
I haven't believed in the Ravens at all this year. And every time I'm like, you know what? Kevin might be right. They go, watch this.
That is very fair. Those two divisions and the one we mentioned, the NFC, just a freaking mess. Mm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will, in fact, talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. It's the last time of the season. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager, Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, man.
Well, it's a great day to be alive, as always. And, you know, I wanted to start with this. We've talked a lot about it, and we all agree Darren Woodson should be a Hall of Famer. But Jason Witten is now in his first year of eligibility and a finalist. In your eyes, is Jason Witten a no-doubt first-ballot Hall of Famer?
Well, I would think so. Of course, I don't have a vote, period. But we all know he would get my vote. But when you look at the complete body of work on Jason, and I'll never forget, I was sitting with Jason in New York, and we were with the top guy at the medical center there in New York. He had tried everybody in Dallas to clear him so that he could play against the opening game against the Giants with a cut spleen. And so we had him up there in New York with the best. And the doctor looked over at him and he said, Jason, how bad do you want to play in this game tomorrow? And he said, it means everything to me, everything. He said, that's why I'm here. And the guy said, I'm going to clear you because there'll be 20 others playing with a lot more hazardous conditions than this. Well, that was Jason Witten going out there with a cut spleen. And he was outstanding, of course, as he for all time, most of the time approached and everything he did. He's a Hall of Famer.
Jerry, when you guys drafted him, can you take us back to that moment? When y'all drafted him, were you like, this guy is going to be this kind of player? Or were you like, we're drafting another tight end?
No. He had a great reputation coming out of Tennessee. He was represented by an agent that we had a lot of confidence in, had known for a long time. He was really had us appraised of the type of character that he had coming out of school, had coming out. And we knew that went with the physical package of what he could do physically. So we were really elated when we got him in the third round. He was disappointed. He was always disappointed, and he was right. He should have been a first-rounder.
Now, there's a big game coming up on Sunday against the Giants. I know you've talked about it. I know Shoddy has talked about it, the desire to win this game and the desire to get to 8-8-1. And I want to get back around to that in just a second, but there are so many issues percolating this morning. One of them being, I know he's not even on the team anymore, but Micah Parsons tweeted out, and I quote, Jerry Jones slandered my name to Cowboys media and national media for months, so I do think I can react to comments if I want to, hashtag respectfully. This was in a back and forth about Diggs and Eberflus and things like that. What do you think about Micah's assertion that you slandered his name?
Well, I wish Micah the very best, and I think a lot of, I really do. I think a lot of his mom and his family. And Micah just got to where he outgrew our ability to pay him. And he's a great player. And he's going to make great plays. Everybody knows how to subtract and get to five for
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Down to love to have Micah on the team. But we just couldn't afford him, and we wanted four or five players more than we did him. But he's outstanding. I understand his sensitivity and can even understand these comments. But the facts are the facts, and when you just put it on one player, that player can get hurt. And if you've got it on four or five players, the chances of all of them getting hurt are not there. And so you often don't have those players when you put that high dollar on them. That goes with the risk of putting all that money on one player. But to be real clear, it certainly never was personal with Micah.
Have you ever experienced this kind of emotional back and forth with another player in your time, Jerry?
Always, always. Everybody's very sensitive when you're talking about their finances, and you talk about it. It is like a critique of their play, and I completely understand why it's sensitive to talk about that. And I go through that emotional gambit and have with most every decision that I've ever made that were meaningful. And since I started out pretty slim, every decision has been meaningful if it gets over in that financial world. And, man, I could get mad in a minute if somebody tried to charge me more than I wanted to pay for a car. And I'd get mad at them. But after it was over, we hugged and made up, and I drove off with the car, and he put the money in his pocket.
There you go. Jerry, we've seen, and we've been critical about this a lot of times, Kevin, you and I both, about this organization holding on to players for too long, and then we'll also complain that maybe you cut a player, moved on too early. What goes into deciding to stick with a guy or cut bait?
Well, I really think that if you really think about it, you're going to always be a little early or a little late. Always. It's impossible to just nail it. And so a lot of things are involved. Certainly you get to have personal relationships with players, and that's real hard to do. I have trouble doing it. I have trouble going past my personal relationships with players, and I've made mistakes because of it. And that's a part of it. It's not necessarily unique, though, to the Cowboys or football. It goes on out there every place, and those decisions become personal for the ones involved.
Now, you were on with our morning show on Tuesday, as you are every single week, and right after that, later in the day, Trayvon Diggs was waived from the team. I know there's a lot that goes into it. It wasn't just one incident. But I am curious, do you feel like that relationship was essentially broken when Diggs wasn't at the team facility for rehab earlier in the year?
You know, a lot is made of relationships, and they are important. But at the end of the day, I've seen players have great careers and not be necessarily excited about who the coach is or who their general manager is or who their owner is. It gets down to the one that lives with what they are themselves, and then probably their second most important consideration, or maybe their first most in consideration above themselves, is their teammate. And so it's not uncommon because you've got today, we've got almost 100 players. And since I've been involved with the Cowboys, I dare say I'm approaching 4,000 players since I've been involved.
Wow.
And so those are a lot of people. And the appreciation is that you have in common is that you love sports, you love to compete. But I'm going to tell you, I have a unbelievable high ceiling on what I think of players that give it up and play football. Now, they have to really, really, especially at the NFL level, they have to have given up a lot to get there. On the other hand, I know they have an appreciation for the life and the opportunity to get to do it. They've come along in the last year since I've been in the NFL, and I think it's going to be that way for at least 15, 20, 30 more. They're in the red meat of when it's time to be a football player in the history of the world. And if they've got the gifts and they've got the will and the work to take advantage of it, they can change their lives. And everybody they love change their lives. The ones that really take advantage of it, I can't tell you how much I admire. Admire them as much as anybody else off the field that does well.
Well, I think that is particularly relevant in, for every team, I'm sure. But Kenny Clark said something about kind of about what you were just saying. We need a bunch of dogs on this team, a bunch of guys who truly love and care about football. I'm not talking about the talent part of it. Do you think right now y'all have enough players in that building who are dogs and who truly love football?
We have players in that building that, by the fact they're in the building, they're 99% home of being a dog. They are. They've to have gotten there to begin with, they're exceptional. 75,000 players play college football this year. 75,000. We'll put 300 in the draft. And this year in the draft, let's say as many as 100 players, and it will probably be more than that. It'll be 200 or 300 players. I've got my math wrong here, but not much. But it'll be several hundred players. Within 3 or 4 years, there won't be but about 120 of those left out of 75,000 that played college football this year. So it is fleeting. It is a rare person and player that gets to step in there and do it. And I admire them for doing it because they are stepping out and having to really extend to get to do. Talent is not enough. But I admire all these players. I admire everybody all the way to a practice squad player for what they do to be in the NFL. But I also know how lucky they are to get to be here.
Did you get the sense that Trayvon Diggs loved football, and did he love the Dallas Cowboys?
Listen, I thought Trayvon had one of the most impressive beginnings in pro football and with the Cowboys that I've ever been associated with. And I personally think that there's things that Trayvon did back when he first came in the NFL that he physically has been compromised with to do. And one of the things he could do is do something similar to what Deion Sanders could do. Deion could make a mistake, or he could bait a player, and then he had the burst to make up for it and go back and make the play and get the ball. And certainly Diggs had that early. He would go be out of position, but not really because he'd intercept the ball. But still, a lesser, a skilled player, and he was a brilliant athlete, and he was a natural ball hawk. He was like a receiver. He would go to the ball, and that takes pristine talent and pristine reaction and reflexes. And so consequently, a combination of all of that is the reason we paid him. He deserved to be paid. And that production, injury-wise or otherwise, has fallen off. There's a lot of reasons for it, but I wish him well.
Jerry, I feel like if you looked at Shoddy's list of things that he wanted to accomplish before the season, establishing his type of culture, that dog mentality that Kevin was just talking about, that kind of culture in that locker room, build a standard for what he wants from his leaders, the guys that are in that room leading the rest of them and all those others. Do you think he was successful in establishing the culture he wanted this year?
Well, I think there was culture. Frankly, Mike McCarthy had a good culture out there. But we wanted more, and we thought Shoddy gave us the opportunity to do it. Now, with that in mind, you've got to with the right atmosphere. And I like Shoddy's atmosphere. It's energetic. It's enthusiastic. It represents an appreciation of everybody getting to be where they are, and that's be a player in the NFL or coaching in the NFL. And I think it bode well for us this year. I was particularly impressed with how we handled the the tragedy that we had among the team. And I was impressed, really, with how we came out of training camp, made some adjustments. And I really thought there at about the midway point that we were going to have it together and be in a different spot and be in this playoff. And I'm disappointed. Those things are a product of everyone. Yours truly leading the pack. And we've got to get in here and make the changes that need to be made as pertaining last year and go forward.
Okay, I'm glad you said that exactly right there, because when you, and I know you look at the entire body of work, we talk about that a lot, you look at the whole season and it's not completely done yet, but when you assess this team, what do you think the differences are between this team and the teams that are heading into the playoffs?
Well, I think, first of all, they were more consistent, and they had a better balance between how they performed offensively and defensively. You hear it all the time. They've got to complement each other. They be in the offense, the defense. They can't be out of sync relative to just be void or be having issues on the other. The competition will sense that and take advantage of it in a minute, and did with us this year. We've done some good things this year, and we've done it the way you have to do it at sometimes, and that's being shorthanded. But everybody gets shorthanded. That's part of the game. And we've done it in some cases. Shorthanded, come forward, and things that excite you because they are young, and you've got to have the tip. Put a successful team as convoluted as it is because it's as multifaceted as it is. Offense, defense, receivers, tackles, guards, block, all of those kinds of things that are involved in it. No one coach, in this particular case, Eberflus, should be saddled with, well, the reason we didn't have a better defensive team or defensive statistics was Eberflus. That's not the case. What that defense represents is personnel department. That represents above that my department. Represents everybody involved in contracts. We all take it, and that's no kidding, because when somebody breaks in there and makes that winning touchdown, everybody associated with this thing should pat themselves on the back and say, I made that touchdown. I did it with my stuff. And that's exactly the way I feel about the defense. And we'll approach it from that standpoint. And I'll assure you, we won't walk in there and say, you know what, Eberflus and this guy over here and this guy over here, let's change that out and it'll all be. Let's go get a Coke and let them think about it. That's not how it works.
Well, speaking of, you know, the personnel, on Tuesday, once again, we were with the morning show, you talked, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, when the franchise re-signed Dak, y'all were going to keep going for it, keep trying to win games, keep trying to excel in the playoffs. With that in mind, would you guys consider for the next couple of years that Dak's under contract changing your philosophy and pushing more resources in now for personnel, even if it means leveraging, like, for example, the 2028 cap and beyond, so you can really go for it with this Dak deal?
Well, we did that. We do that by the very nature of re-signing Dak. And we knew we had to have, protection for Dak. We knew we had to have him some receivers out there. Part of that protection goes over to running back. And by the way, while we're at it, we need to give him some field position with defense. Whoops. We slipped this year. We didn't get the defense done. We didn't create the kinds of a complementary field position that we needed. I call it bones. We've got them in place. I like some of those defensive players that we added during the year. We're going to add more. And we're going to refine what we're doing with our offense. We've got a good chance to be right there. This is a surprise to me. When I signed Dak, I didn't expect for us not to be in the playoffs the last 2 years. And so we'll make those kinds of adjustments that'll give us the best shot at the playoffs. And we can't be timid about it. They aren't just subtle little adjustments. We'll have to do some things that, as they say, put your head between your legs and prepare for some rough landings.
Jerry, Troy Aikman's reportedly consulting to help Miami find a new general manager. How much of an impact does Troy's word have in the NFL?
Well, again, you're talking to the wrong person because Troy Aikman is associated with my time in the NFL. And so I hardly know how to say NFL without saying Troy. And I'm so proud of him, proud of what he did for the Cowboys, proud of what he is in the NFL. And he's had a great career, no matter how you count it. And I've always appreciated him, having him on my side, our side. Obviously, he has to have an even hand where he is right now, and his job is broadcasting. And I would say that he certainly is capable of helping any team with in whatever capacity he is. Wouldn't surprise me if he decided to come back and play like what's his name did this past two or three
Rivers.
Weeks.
Yeah.
That he could step out, like he could step out there and do it. Now that wouldn't surprise me at all if Troy Aikman said it's the case.
Now
surprised me. No, that surprised me, but not surprised me that he could do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. He's got that toughness, that competitiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you frequently said on our show, and it's come up a lot this year as well, is this show is your opportunity to speak to the fans. This is our last chance to talk with you this season. And what I really want to know is not just what you would say to the fans, because you started to talk about that on Tuesday, but what would be your reaction and what would be your message to the fans out there who are concerned that they don't think that you and Steven and this front office are the group to turn this Cowboys team around?
Well, I've used this analogy on the other day when I was asked a pretty similar question. And it reminds me of the old gold miner out in the 49er days of the gold rush of San Francisco. And that old broken down gold miner, he's got a bad back, his hands are so, got so much arthritis to him from swinging that pick. And he's sitting out there and he's just picking on rock and nothing's happening. But the most sure way for nothing to happen is for him to quit picking. And so you keep swinging the pick. Now, from the day that we've become involved here, we've said we're going to swing the pick. And so that hadn't changed. But we're sure not going to quit. And I'll assure you that I've been in many things in my life, including times with the Cowboys, that type of persistence breeds the kind of results our fan wants, and that's a winning football team.
You know, I'm really glad that you used that analogy. I heard that analogy the other day, and one of the things I thought about that, I consider myself a little bit of a student of history as well. Isn't another lesson from that gold rush is that people adapted with the times and used different technology and everything and didn't just keep swinging that pick as a way to make money?
Well, I will tell you that if you look at the Cowboys and you frankly look at Schottenheimer and you look at what Schottenheimer's doing with the offense, how'd you like that change? Well, we did it with the same Schottenheimer there as from the last year and the year before. And that offense changed, and look at the production we got this year. There were a couple little subtle features. We had Dak most of the year, rather not having Dak. But other than that, and I'm smiling when I say that, but the point is that it's within the purview. It's within the scope of information that the changes can get the job done as far as doing it different ways, new ways. I've pretty much been working for myself personally all my life. And since we are talking about the Cowboys now, and got me on the phone, I guess I can talk a little about my own background. And I have changed so many times, so many ways. I'm going to be in the opposite direction from where I was going 5 years early. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying go in a different direction.
Well, we appreciate the time, the info, everything along the way. Love talking with you every Friday, and we hope to catch up with you sooner rather than later.
Man, I've enjoyed this, and let's get up here. It is big to us to end up with a winning record, and so that's what we want to do. And you say, well, if you equal on one side is equal on the other, we'll call that a losing record. Well, I'm going to call it a winning record if it's even.
I appreciate that. I know that you do. Thank you very much, good sir.
Amen. I've enjoyed it for sure.
Yes, sir.
Let's have a great year.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan, The Game.
Oh, Jerry, got one more question.
He was gone.
I have, but I wanted to ask him. There was one thing. Can we call him back?
Do you want to ask the question? I mean, I don't know.
Dylan, do you have Jerry's number?
You can call him back. Will the phone signal hold out? I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, maybe next time.
I don't
maybe
know. Next time. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Taco Bueno in Arlington, 1419 North Collins Street. Come on out and see. Us register to win one of those amazing Tolo whiskey sets. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnola and maybe, just maybe, a mini baseball nuggets next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.